Jenny. This is the sixth episode of the Healthy Bites podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am actually also recording this on Zoom as well to put on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/healthhopevitalityllc if you want to see it live. I certainly won't be doing that with every instance because there's not a whole lot of benefit of doing both of them at the same time, but I just thought for kicks, I'd just give it a try. So I'm so glad to have you with me today. This podcast is brought to you by Health Hope Vitality, providing personal training and nutrition guidance online from the comfort of your own home. Visit healthhopevitality.com to get started with your free consultation. And for the most researched nutritional products on the planet, please visit breeden.juiceplus.com. So today's episode is about muscle soreness and what the best remedies for it are. So this kind of comes on the heels of my weekend and what I did this weekend. So let's go into story time real quick, shall we? So on Saturday, now Saturday is generally the only day that I tend to have off. Granted, I have been unemployed for a couple weeks, so there's that. But I haven't been lazy at all. So Saturday, I decided that I would do some yard work and kind of spruce things up in the front yard and the backyard. Kind of my vision, my overall vision, was just to plant some new plants in the front yard. And then in the backyard, I wanted to basically move our fire pit a little bit further away from the house and then also redo the fire pit and actually get the stones that, like the retaining wall blocks that are used for fire pits. So I ordered the things that I needed from Lowe's.com, and I am a huge, huge fan of either having things delivered to me so I don't have to go get it and do the heavy lifting, or if I can't do that, then I definitely at least want to just order pickup, pickup to go. And so somebody brings it out to my truck and loads it up for me. And I especially wanted this because I knew that I was going to get a lot of heavy things. And so I can't math. I have mentioned that before. And so I went out back, in my backyard, and I just kind of guesstimated, the number of stones that I would need for this fire pit project that I had in mind. And so that's what I ordered. So I go to Lowe's, and Lowe's is a, like a home improvement store here in Texas. And I check in, and so the guy comes out and he scans a little barcode. He's like, "Hey, just pull around to the side of the store in the alleyway and we'll get you loaded up." I'm like, "Okay, cool." And so I do that, get out of my truck, and I see this man driving a forklift carrying a pallet of retaining wall blocks. And I'm pretty sure my mouth stayed open probably for a solid minute. And I was just kind of questioning, is that really how many blocks I ordered? Certainly that's not how many blocks I ordered. And so there was a girl back there too, kind of directing the guys. And she was like, give us a minute. There's about 30 more blocks on there than what you need. I'm like, oh, okay. And so they unload some, I guess. They come back. It doesn't look like they've unloaded any. And he had to get the extenders to put this thing in the back of my truck. And when he put those blocks in the back of my truck, I was so scared that I was going to break my truck. Like, it sunk down, like, probably almost a foot, okay? Now, mind you, I mean, we don't have, like, a little wimpy truck. Like, we do have a truck that's made to tow some things, but oh my word, like, I was not prepared for that. So anyways, I need to get on with my story. So I ended up ordering 80 retaining wall blocks, and these things are 24 pounds a piece. And so if you do the math, that's roughly a ton of retaining wall blocks that my truck was carrying, and praise God, we got home okay. But then I had to unload them one by one and get them to my backyard. And that was just for the backyard. And so my son was a great help. He helped me with the front yard, and that ended up taking like 4 hours. And I was wearing sunscreen that day, but apparently it didn't work. So I had a horrible sunscreen on my back, and I'll actually do another podcast episode about that, about how I took care of that problem. But by the end of the day, after working out in the sun essentially all day and moving a literal ton of retaining wall blocks from my front yard to my backyard, and then bending over to plant some new plants and move around some rocks, and I was dead. I hurt all over. And you guys, you know, I've been working out for a few years now. I have never had so much soreness in my hands and my forearms. Like, it was unreal. And so generally, when I have experienced muscle soreness, my, you know, go-to has just been ibuprofen. You know, because it's an NSAID, so ibuprofen is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, right? And so it's supposed to help with inflammation, and that's what muscle soreness is. It is inflammation. Really, more in-depth about that is, you know, muscle soreness is actually, you're basically creating these teeny tiny tears in your muscles, and ouch, it hurts. The benefit of that, though, is that when we create those teeny tiny tears in our muscles basically heal themselves, but as they heal, they grow bigger, they grow stronger. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing to have that soreness, but it is helpful to know what's actually going to help when you experience that kind of soreness. So my source of information for today comes from healthline.com. I love healthline.com, and I'm not associated with them at all or affiliated with them, but I love going to this website because I know that they are going to give me research-based information, and they will have links to the information so I can actually make sure that they are reputable. Okay, so title of this article, if you want to call it that, 23 things to know about acute and delayed onset muscle soreness. And so there's basically two different kinds of muscle soreness. Acute is basically immediate muscle soreness. And so that's kind of like the burning pain that you experience. And so it's usually caused by just a buildup of those of metabolites or, oh my gosh, I just blanked on the word. But it's essentially a buildup of acid in your muscles when you're doing that high intensity exercise. But that usually resolves really quickly. Typically, as soon as you stop doing that movement, maybe shake out your muscles a little bit, whatever that may look like, that kind of soreness will kind of relieve itself. Delayed onset muscle soreness is definitely what I experienced on Saturday, because I was able to go all day feeling fine. Maybe it was just adrenaline. Maybe it was, I don't know. Maybe I was excited. I don't know. But I was able to go pretty much all day, and it wasn't until like the end of the day where I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done? So delayed onset muscle soreness is usually the kind of soreness that we feel after we do a really intensive exercise, or just exercise that our bodies are not used to, like what I did on Saturday with moving a ton of blocks from my front yard to my backyard. So, all right, so what does this say? With delayed onset muscle soreness, your symptoms peak typically 24 to 72 hours after the activity. And so that's kind of similar to, you know, if you have a procedure of some sort. I've been working on getting an implant done, a dental implant, and that's what they always tell you is, you know, the soreness or the inflammation may be worst, or the worst on the third day or 72 hours after. And that just occurs from whatever your body has gone through. This kind of surprised me in this article. It says, although NSAIDs or ibuprofen, for example, naproxen sodium is also another NSAID, may seem like a solid go-to for relief, the results are actually mixed. So muscle soreness improves as your body gets used to exercise. If you need to take something to help with the pain, pass on the NSAIDs. And here's why. So it's actually unclear whether NSAIDs have any effect on muscle soreness at all. So that's actually the research behind this, which was very surprising to me, even though NSAIDs are supposed to be anti-inflammatory, but it could be that they are anti-inflammatory in other ways and not necessarily for muscles. Maybe they don't actually get to your muscle fibers, and so they're not actually going to benefit your muscles. Even when taken in low doses, NSAIDs can increase your risk of gastrointestinal bleeding, heart attack, and stroke. Of course, that also goes for Tylenol, which is actually what they recommended as well. I think Tylenol is probably more harmful for your liver and kidneys because it's kind of difficult for your kidneys to process that drug. But those are just, you know, some ideas. So I kind of noticed this because I took 600 milligrams of ibuprofen. I was dying on Saturday and Sunday. And I can't really say that I noticed a whole lot of benefit from it. So what did help me more, and this is also in this article as well, eating anti-inflammatory foods may be more beneficial. Surprise, surprise. How about that? Why is that, Lauren? Why is food a better answer over pills? Well, here's why. Because every food that God has given to us on this earth has an address in the body. So, according to Healthline, some good anti-inflammatory foods that have shown promise in treating muscle soreness, it doesn't say that it's proven, but that have shown promise are watermelon, cherry juice, pineapple, and ginger. So those watermelon kind of surprised me, but it says that it's rich in an amino acid called L-citrulline. I know I'm saying that wrong. But then I already knew that cherry juice, pineapple, it's kind of surprising, but it is high in antioxidants and bromelain. And then ginger, I've known that's pretty anti-inflammatory as well. It also says that taking antioxidant supplements like curcumin and fish oil may also help. Now, may I suggest, though, it's always better to go to the source of the omegas. And the source of the omegas is not actually fish at all. It's from the plants that they eat. Fish by themselves do not produce omegas. They get the omegas from the plants that they consume. And so that's why, you know, I always go towards the Juice Plus products, just because it's kind of a one-stop shop for whole food nutrition. So what did I do? This is what I did. So I'm trying to think. So Saturday, I made myself a whole food smoothie. So I had blueberries and strawberries and spinach and celery. And then I put in some extra Juice Plus capsules in there and just opened them up and emptied them in there. So I tried to load my body, my poor suffering body, up with as much whole food nutrition as I possibly could. And then I did the exact same thing the next day. I took 2 doses of ibuprofen, but then I also took, in addition to that, some turmeric gummies that I have from, I think they are Mary Ruth's Organics or something. I just got them off Amazon. But I've been a firm believer in turmeric for several years now to relieve pain associated with my lupus. And so together with that, I was able to relieve quite a bit of my pain. Now, yesterday morning was tough, I'm not going to lie. And then I took a little nap yesterday. And after that, I mean, I feel pretty good. Those are some helpful things. Let's see. Oh, as far as the omegas too, it's always best to, like I was saying, it's always best to go to the source of where the omegas come from. And so the Juice Plus products actually have an omega blend of the omegas 3, 5, 6, 7, 9. And so that's why I choose them. And it's actually even safe for kids as well. My kids will actually just pop those capsules in their mouth and just chomp down on them and squeeze out the oils. And it just tastes like orange. There's no fish taste or anything. And so it's a win-win in my book. So this is another thing that kind of surprised me too. Number 10, it says you should opt for heat therapy immediately after you exercise. So this surprised me because in my mind on Saturday, I thought, okay, I've been doing all this work. I've been outside. I'm in Texas, remember? Now, even though, you know, we're still in the springtime, it's still pretty warm outside. It was still in the 80s on Saturday. And so I thought, okay, I've been hot all day. Inflammation is hot. Anyways, it's a buildup of, you know, toxins and whatever in your muscles. So I need to opt for a cooler bath. And so I don't usually do baths because I think they take up too much time. But I did take a bath and I took a cool bath. And to me, that felt good. I wouldn't have thought that it would feel good to take a hot bath after I've been working outside in the heat all day. But apparently to them, that's what you should do. So you should opt for heat therapy immediately after you exercise. One 2013 study found that while both dry and moist heat helped with pain, moist heat was shown to offer even more pain reduction. And then combine that with some Epsom salts. Now, I did use that on Saturday, may offer double the benefits. So soaking in Epsom salts has been linked to reduced muscle pain and inflammation. The most heat you get from sitting in a hot bath is an added bonus. Now, use heat immediately afterwards, but after you apply the heat, then you should switch to cold therapy and keep at it until you recover. So I guess it's a good combination of both things, right? Both hot and cold. You can also use a foam roller. I love my foam roller, especially when I develop knots in my muscles or something like that. I use it on my legs, on my back, my shoulders. I have used it on my arms a little bit before. Gets a little bit awkward at that point, just trying to figure out how to use the foam roller on your arms. But okay, so it does say on Healthline, exercising more can actually help reduce soreness. So it doesn't say specifically what kind of exercise. Now for me this morning, you know, typically I do my at-home workouts Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I knew today was coming, but I also knew that I probably was not going to be able to give 100% to, you know, a HIIT workout, for example, at 6:15 a.m. this morning. And so I did mostly non-weight-bearing exercises. I did some yoga this morning. I stretched out my forearms, my wrists, and that felt heavenly. It felt so good for my muscles. And I really haven't been struggling that much since I did that. If you must stretch, do it beforehand and stick to dynamic moves. So one of my favorites is Sunrise to Scarecrow. Oh my word. That one's really good for your quads and for your back and even your shoulders too. I love that one. And then remember, pain isn't an indicator of how fit you are or how unfit you are. It happens to everybody. Everybody gets sore. I honestly, when I was early in the days of working out, I enjoyed soreness because it showed me that what I was doing was working, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the opposite is true. Just because you aren't getting sore after an exercise or after a heavy workout doesn't mean it's not working. It might just mean that you need to up the ante a little bit, or the changes are just going to be a little bit smaller, or whatever. You're getting stronger, whatever the case may be. So overall, hydration, proper form, and mindful practices are the only way to prevent future soreness. So, obviously, I'm not going to be moving a ton of blocks every single day, every single week, or hopefully not every single year. By the way, I still have enough blocks in my backyard to probably build a castle, so stay tuned about that. But overall, I was kind of surprised at some of the things that are actually more beneficial and really, no surprise, plants are the go-to. Something else that I probably should have or would have added in, had I thought about it and had the time to do it, is probably add in some herbal tea. I love herbs and spices. I think they're magic. I love making teas out of different herbs and things. And so probably some turmeric tea with some ginger. And then maybe throw in like a little bit of lemon there too, just to help with the gut as well. Because, you know, the gut is kind of the center of where everything heals. At any rate, I hope that was helpful for you. Remember, I will post the link to this source in the description box. And if you have any ideas for future episodes, feel free to send me a message. But otherwise, I will talk to you later.